Welcome along. It's Alan Brazil up front.
It's the Porkmeister. Yes!
He is losing the plot.
No, I'm not losing the plot.
Alan Brazil up front.
Exclusively on Audio Boom.
Can City do it? City, if they turn up.
City are going to get
If they turn up, you nutty.
Hang on.
What are you talking about? Welcome. Alan Brazil up front. And today it's Porky Parry, Mr. Mike Parry.
Yeah, welcome, Alan. It's great to be here. Thanks very much for inviting me into your studio again. I'm getting a little bit worried, you know, about the balance between men's football and women's football. The girls have come home. What's the row all about?
Well, big row, isn't it? The guy from the Football Association tweeted out, didn't he?
Yes, he runs the website.
Now, did he know what he was doing? He tweeted out about, well, these poor girls have come back, get off the plane, a few handshakes, and then it's back into the kitchen,
A little bit unfair. What he actually said was, they come back now as partners, as mothers, as daughters, and they get on with life. Well, hang on.
You know what he
meant. Well, now hang on. Now, the FA is a great organisation.
Oh, hello. Opening doors again, are we?
Welcome, come into the museum. Excuse me. They control football in this country. They have a very responsible job, and they have to do it fairly. And the chap who did it, what he really meant was, they're coming back to normal life after a strenuous competition in which they did very well. And look,
I can tell just by looking at your face,
look,
don't believe one word what you're talking about.
If it had been the male footballers come back from a tough competition and he said they're coming back to be fathers, brothers, husbands, nobody would have batted an eyelid.
He wouldn't have said that.
Well,
he wouldn't have said that because they're coming back to their clubs.
Yes.
To the Premiership.
Yes.
The girls have come back to. They've got their own teams as well.
Yes.
So it was a little bit. You know, as I say, girls, there's your dishcloth.
Yeah, but I
there's your duster. There's your Hoover. That's what he meant.
Oh, Al, come on. I suppose you want him sacked, do you?
I think he should be up to a tribunal. I think if I'd have done that on radio, I'd have been up in front of the boss.
I think we should start talking about some real football.
Right. No, let's be fair. They've done well. And on a serious note, I'm pleased the US won because back in 1978, when I went over there to play for Detroit Express, there was loads of young girls playing football there.
Sure.
So they deserve a bit of success.
Sure. It was a little bit unfortunate, wasn't it, that some Twitter trolls in America started comparing the final, America versus Japan, with Pearl Harbor. I thought that was disgraceful. Yeah, absolutely disgraceful.
Well, I spoke to Bob Bubka today, and Bob was talking about, we hit them Japanese. We hit them so hard. I thought, hello.
I know.
Hello.
I know.
Steady, Bob. Steady. Anyway, we move on.
Yeah, exactly.
Liverpool, Sean O'Driscoll. What do you make of that?
Well, who is Sean O'Driscoll? Tell me.
He was the Bournemouth manager. He got a real good name at Doncaster as
right.
well.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So he left that good Bournemouth side.
Yeah.
Right. For Eddie to go back into.
Yes.
Doncaster Rovers played some great football.
Mm.
Didn't work out at Forest and Bristol City, but he's landed a great job with Brendan. Brendan raves about him.
Yeah, Al, he's nearly as old as me, and he's older than you, right, this guy Sean O'Driscoll. I don't see any great track record in management. I wonder why Brendan Rodgers has taken this extraordinary decision, really. When you think about the opportunity to work alongside the manager of a top club in this country.
Oh, no, it's a big, bold
move. An ambitious manager, I think it's a very bold move.
Yeah, and of course, Brendan still has to deal with Sterling, the back training now.
Yeah.
What is he going to do with him? What about Sturridge? How is he out for so long?
Yeah.
It's a mystery to me.
A lot of football injuries, they are mysteries. They go on for so long. You know, people like Jack Wilshere and all that, their injuries seem to get longer. A lot of people will say that's something to do with the training method these days or the pitches they train on or something
or
like that.
Or lifestyle.
Well, it's a bit unfair that to mention Jack Wilshere and lifestyle.
Your lifestyle caught up with you, didn't it?
Well, no, but.
How long were you off radio for?
About 7 months. But I think it's fair to point out to the millions of listeners to this particular podcast that was after 5 years of working with you.
Yes.
And 5 years of working with you would drive anybody into hospital for 7 months. You're the only person who didn't get into hospital. I took the punch. I took the heat.
Nothing to do with the 3 bottles of wine a day and 25 fags.
Let's talk some real football. Now, getting back to Liverpool, the other thing I was going to say was, Al, when is Brendan Rodgers going to have this clear out, he says he's going to have, because unless he gets that clear out going, he's going to have a lot of dissent in the back room. In the background.
And look how much he spent. You know, they're not short of saying, go on, Brendan, get your player.
Mm.
So does that tell you Sterling's definitely going?
Well, the
thing taking his time.
No, the thing about the Sterling situation is... sorry, caught me thinking there, Al. The thing about the Sterling situation is... Do you remember that when all the speculation was going on about, you know, will Sterling be leaving Liverpool, he won't, Brendan came out with what people said was an extraordinary statement. He said, he's the best young footballer in Europe. What's happened in the last 24 hours?
She's been voted the most valuable.
Exactly. Just been voted the most valuable young footballer in Europe at £31.2 million.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know whether that's good or bad for Liverpool, because Brendan Rodgers, when he said it, everybody said, oh, that'll push his price up. But he's been officially valued at £10 million below what Liverpool want
so
for him.
So what happens if City now say, and they, if they are the only serious players...
Yeah.
What if they say to Liverpool, get lost, we don't want him now. He's spent all this money, he's stuck with them. Yeah. He's got wages to pay, got his wages to pay. Why would you have an unhappy player?
No, I think Brendan Rodgers would love that, because Brendan Rodgers will then think he's pulled one over the board. He's got the board to release the money to bring the new players in. He doesn't want to get rid of Sterling. He may be on an obligation to have to sell him now to pay for the players he's bought.
Well, Benteke is now having a showdown, I believe, today, tomorrow, with Tim Sherwood. He wants to leave Villa. He wants to go to Liverpool.
I can understand that, though. I can understand why.
If Sterling's staying, they might not take Benteke, so he's unsettled Benteke now.
Yeah, well, you know, I can understand why Benteke wants to get away from Villa. Villa are a magnificent club, heritage, history and all that, but they don't win things. Liverpool at least have the resources to win things if they get it right.
Last time Everton won a final?
95, when we played...
Villa were at Wembley, weren't they?
Manchester United. No, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, what I'm saying is Villa have done nothing since...
You better lose your best player.
No, we're not about to lose our best player.
McCarthy?
What about McCarthy?
He's going.
Oh, are you looking at, you know, press speculation, the media, you know, scumbags and all this kind of stuff?
He's going.
Sorry, I'm a member of the media scumbags, but that's another story. No, there's no certainty he's going at all. No certainty he's going at all. I mean,
as we keep talking about Liverpool and other teams, transfer market, zero, silencio from Goodison.
No, not at all. Delafu's come back, which is excellent.
Who?
Delafu. Dulafu, you know, the Barcelona player.
Yeah.
He's come back.
What do you mean Barcelona player?
Barcelona
third
player.
Third team.
No. Don't you realise that the year he spent at Everton on loan made him a much, much better player? And Barcelona also said Everton can borrow any of their other players from their under-21 academy because it makes them better players. Now, also, we bought our boy from Manchester United who played for England in their last game. You know what I'm talking about.
No.
Yes, you do.
No, don't.
Of course you
Tell
do.
Tell me, you're an Everton
fan. Yeah, of course.
You're a season ticket holder. Who is he?
Yes. Well, you know who he is.
I'm not telling you.
He's a Manchester lad, and he's going to be the bulwark of on midfield along with Ross Barkley. Okay.
Yeah. And his name is.
Yeah. Well, we all know who he is. Come on, Al. I'm not going to blurt the name out here.
You're just worried. Your mind is vacant and blank.
No, it's not.
Because you've got the hump. You've got the hump.
I haven't got the hump.
Yes. What Piers Morgan party. Mike Graham was invited, and you got blanked.
Come off it.
Yes, you went there.
Tom Cleverley.
I heard
Tom
Cleverley. You went there.
Yeah. It's Tom Cleverley. I'm not talking about Piers Morgan.
Tom Sideways Cleverley, that one.
What do I want to talk about Piers Morgan for? I taught Piers Morgan all he knows.
Yeah, and that's why he didn't invite you to his party. Everyone else was there.
No. Al,
Mike Graham told me, he said, Porky's got home.
Al, it's a well-known fact of life. I do not go to namby-mamby parties where all these people dress all these people dress up like toffs and swan around telling each other how great they are. What would I want to go to one of those for? Yeah. I don't want to talk about myself to everybody else, about my achievements in life and all that kind of stuff. Why should I? Anton Deck standing there telling me they're worth 10 million quid a year.
Mike Graham, your colleague.
Yeah, he's worth about 10 quid a year.
You go around the UK with him doing your tours.
Yeah.
He gets invited. The talent get invited. You don't.
No, it's not true. I put myself in a position where I made it clear I didn't want to be invited, Al. That's a difference. Anyway, we should be talking about real football here. Now, I want to talk to you about the Harry Kane situation, please, because you made the very same move that Harry Kane might be making.
And I tell you, who else could be making the same move? Mm-hmm. If my mind is working correct, I think there's more chance of Lloris going to Man United than there is Kane.
Do you?
Because now Casillas is going to FC Porto.
Right.
Makes a way for De Gea. Yeah. To head to Real Madrid, and he will go, right? He'll go. Then United will either get Lloris or they'll get Begovic.
Who would be the best for them?
Lloris is the best. Begovic is a good goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Lloris is one of the best in Europe.
Yeah, okay. So Lloris goes, fine. That solves one problem for Manchester United. Do they still need Harry Kane, though, up front?
Yeah, they do. Of course they do, because Van Persie looks at his move to Turkey's off.
Yes.
He's back. Is he the player he was? No, he's not. It leaves Rooney and the young boy Wilson up front. That's it.
The only thing I would say is that, and This is why we've got to focus on your situation now. Doesn't matter which club you're coming from. If you go to Manchester United, it is a completely different proposition for you as a young man. He's still a very young man, Harry Kane. Has a mature head on his shoulders, but a young man. And he's going to be greeted avalanche of expectancy.
He's had one great season.
Yes, exactly.
Right? And your second season, trust me, is harder.
Yeah.
At least he's going there fit. I went there not fit, which I didn't realise.
Yes.
You find out later.
Yes.
But still, I only played 25 full games.
Sure.
But to play for Manchester United was everyone's dream, and I achieved that. I got 12 goals.
I was going to say, a goal every two games.
So that is not too bad, but I was not right,
yeah.
And I know I wasn't right.
Yeah.
So he will go there fully fit.
Yeah, OK. Now, in those days, Manchester United was striving to get back where they'd been in the 60s,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Liverpool and Everton were killing them.
Of course, absolutely. So what I'm saying to you, Al, is the air of expectancy, perhaps when you went there, maybe have been even greater than it is now. I know they've got...
I didn't help myself, because we played them at Ipswich once. We beat them 6-0.
Right.
There was three penalty misses. I scored two, Mariner got three, and then I remember going up there and beating them at Old Trafford.
Yeah.
I scored the winner in front of the Stretford end, went round Martin Buchan,
yeah.
Drew Bailey out, tucked it past him and just looked up and there's a wall of United fans.
Well, it's at Stretford
and
end.
It was, take that, you get in there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I didn't do myself any favours.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think they'd have forgotten
done
that.
Like that. Oh, you scored a penalty at Old Trafford?
I did.
My boots, where are they? I borrowed you my boots, where are they?
You won't believe this. I did another penalty shootout last year at Stevenage.
And left them there?
No, they fell to bits on my feet.
Yeah, should have did.
As I kicked the ball, they fell to bits, you know. But it's still a treasured item. Thank you very much. But what you're talking about is when I went on and did a penalty shootout at half time. I have a fantastic claim to fame. It was Wayne Rooney's second season, right? He'd taken one penalty at Old Trafford and missed it. I came on at half time to do the penalty shootout. Alvin Martin was captain of the other team. I took my penalty and scored it.
Alvin hit the bar, didn't he?
Alvin hit the bar. Alvin was captain of the other team and he missed and I won. And when I said to him later, what did you do that for, Alvin? You know Alvin's son is a goalkeeper.
Yes.
He said, my son, idiot, told me, put it in the top corner, Dad, no goalkeeper can get it. He said, I missed the top corner of the goal and hit the crossbar.
You see, scored, well, yes. I told you what you're doing, didn't I?
You did.
Head over the ball, whack it, and the crowd will tell you if you've scored or not.
Yeah.
Because if you remember that afternoon before you went there,
yeah.
I had to pick you up off the floor. That's
what?
How bad you were.
Well, rubbish.
And that's how bad you were.
What are you on
about? I was amazed you made it.
Mm-hmm. What are you talking
about? I was amazed you made it. That's real. I put the commentary on. Beaky was commentating.
Yeah,
half time up to Old Trafford.
Yeah.
And there was a chorus of boo,
yeah,
boo.
That's because that's
you scouts, boo.
Yeah.
As Paddy took to the field. I nearly crashed the car.
Yeah, well.
And when he scored, I'll never. I thought, how did he? How could he see the ball?
It was unbelievable. But you said, keep your head down, boot it straight down the middle, the goalkeeper's throw, and the goalkeeper will dive left or right. He did. I scored. It was amazing. I don't know how I did it. But anyway, let's get back to the old football situation because quite seriously, we've got to look towards the new season, which is approaching fast. West Ham have already played a European tie, albeit with a reserve team because their team are overseas. At this time of the year, Al, should Premier League clubs be doing this much travelling and going around like this and tiring their players out? Shouldn't they all be on the training fields here?
Well, what's better? You know, Manchester United will be heading off, Liverpool are heading off.
Everton heading to the Asia Cup out in Thailand.
Whereas West Brom,
yep.
Tony Pulis is in Austria, and every 3 days they are running a marathon.
I know.
They're running 26
I don't
miles
think that's right.
every 3 days.
I don't think
Can
that's
believe
right.
believe it?
I'm not sure that's right. I
well, I like
run
Tony
Pulis,
but
days.
I have to say that's extreme.
Yeah.
They tell me it's absolutely brutal in the heat over there.
Yeah. Well, it will be brutal in that sort of way, but surely I thought we'd moved on from that. I thought that that's a bit like going back 30 or 40 years when you came in for pre-season training, he put a 16-pound pack on your back and took you to the Brecon Beacons and you're up and down mountains for 3 weeks. I thought we'd got beyond that.
We didn't see a ball for a week under Bobby Robson.
Well, there you go.
We'd do hill climbs, then we'd do
the
half laps. And then we'd do the shuttle runs, doggies, yeah.
Yeah.
But the half laps were hard.
Yeah.
But we used to do it, and anyone can do it, but when they give you a tiny little bit of recovery, that's when it kills you. In other words, you do your half lap in a time, and they say, right, you got 10 seconds, 1, 2, right, do it again.
Right.
It's the recovery. That's when you know how fit you are, when you can do it, and within 10 seconds, do it again, and then again 10 seconds and do it again.
Right. Here's the most stupid question I've ever asked you. Did you ever come back from pre-season
You've
training
asked me loads.
Overweight? Overweight.
Of course I did.
Well, you see, what a tacit admission of being a bad professional.
In my day, it wasn't a case of there's your training regime.
Yeah.
you know, cut down, you know, what, because you're not training every day properly. There's your regime.
Yeah.
Cut down. You struggling? You a bit warm there, Mr. Barry?
No, no, no.
He looks as if he's going to faint. It is warm in here.
It is very muggy.
But anyway, but nowadays it's different. I went, just come back from Portugal, Bobby Robson's golf, which was fabulous. Sam Allardyce, Brian Robson, Shearer,
excellent.
Steve Bruce.
Yeah.
And I bumped into Andros Townsend, who's just signed for someone today,
Andros,
hasn't he? And I looked at him, and I swear, he hasn't put a pound on.
No.
I'm not kidding.
Well, the true professionals don't, of course.
And he was at the bar with an orange juice.
Right.
And I've just ordered my San Miguel, por favor, and he's got his orange juice.
Yeah.
And mate, it's totally different nowadays.
Oh, you looked at that with utter amazement in your eyes. A professional footballer drinking a glass of orange juice.
Yeah.
My God, what's the world coming to?
That's why I'll never be a top player.
Well,
you think of all the great players. Yeah. The only one I think of who didn't drink was Dalglish.
What about
Peter Beardsley?
Yeah, you're, and I don't take the mickey
no,
out of
no, Peter, our friend.
No.
Peter.
That's terrible.
Peter told me.
By the way, I'm going to send them this podcast.
That is
a disgrace.
Oh, no, Peter Beardsley.
No, that is a disgrace.
But it was another Liverpool player of the era, Alan Hansen, or the other guy he works with on Match of the Day.
Jockey likes a pins now.
Who's the other guy?
Mark Lawrenson.
He said, when the coach pulled up at the first stop after an away game, Peter was always first off the coach, literally, into the bar, and it was
13 pints of lager and a pint of Diet Coke, please.
And the Diet Coke was for Peter, and all the boys had a lager. So he's a good man.
He was a driver. He used to drive them everywhere.
Oh, that's right.
He was a hell of a player.
Yeah.
Who did he play for in North America?
He played for Vancouver Whitecaps.
Well done.
Thank you.
And who was the manager?
Oh, it's a good one. Was he former Villa manager?
You won't get that.
Former Villa manager?
Tony Waiters.
Oh, Tony Waiters. What, the former Blackpool goalkeeper?
I've no idea.
Yeah,
he might have been.
He was. Now, listen.
Anyway, get on with it, will
you? Okay, talking about a ball and a football, but not allied to a footballer, how bad is this news about Rory McIlroy?
Oh, God, I couldn't believe it. Now, I'm going up to the Scottish Open.
Right.
I'll be up there at Gullen.
Right.
Thanks to our good friends at Aberdeen Asset. They sponsor it. They're great.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be live from the show.
Sure.
And when I heard the news, I see the pictures in a cast, and I thought, well, that could be protective.
Mm.
But Rory himself has said, I've ruptured a muscle. Now, if he's ruptured a muscle, muscle...
Yeah. Yeah.
Then there's no way he can play in the Open at St Andrews. No way, on the 16th. Impossible. If he's strained an ankle, look, ankles, you have a chance, right? When an ankle, the times I've gone over an ankle and heard a crack, I thought I broke it.
Yes.
But the ankles are tough as anything, right?
Right, yeah.
In saying that, you can strap them.
Yes.
You can inject them. You can take painkillers, strap them.
Yeah.
But if he's ruptured a muscle, he cannot play in the Open.
Yeah.
No way.
Now, the thing is, Al, and you know about this better than I do, being a professional athlete, when a...
An ex-professional athlete.
I still regard you as an athlete, Al.
Thank you.
Others don't. When a fast bowler comes down on his left foot, bearing it, you know, if you say he's a right-arm bowler, apparently you're talking about like 8 ton of compressed weight on that ankle as the last moment before he delivers the ball. Now, apparently, it's almost the same as that when you're swinging a golf club at the sort of rate that Rory McIlroy does.
Rubbish.
But it's very, very...
Who told you that?
But that ankle is very, very supportive to your body. Go and ask Tiger Woods what happened when his knee went. I mean, it's different altogether. What I'm saying is, my question is this...
He's done his knee falling off the bed.
That's a bit harsh, Al. We have no evidence of that. No evidence whatsoever, you know what I mean? I mean, the fact that his wife chased him down the driveway
with a golf club
and tried to smash his
head. It was an accident, was it?
Well, these things can happen. Now, what I'm saying is, could this be a long-term injury for Rory? Could it be so damaging to...
Well, Bernard Gallagher told me, ex-Ryder Cup captain, Alan, if there's any doubt at all, the medical advice should be, you cannot play Rory. Forget it. He said he's had a great year. I said, no, he hasn't. He said, Alan, he's had a great year. Right, he's won tournaments. He finished high up in the Masters.
Yeah, he did,
Right? And the US Open, they weren't that far away. They're great. His putts wouldn't go in.
Yes.
So Bernard says, no, he can't win everything. He's had a good year, so you can't blow it.
Yeah.
You can't ruin it. He'll play in many, many Opens.
Okay.
He's got to forget him.
Okay. He's only 20, he's not yet 25, and he's earned $100 million. I mean, in theory, it wouldn't matter if he didn't play again financially.
Correct.
But what about the curtailing of a brilliant career? And the other thing is, mate, when you were a footballer, right, you and the lads would do things like, I don't know, knock a cricket ball around or do something else, play snooker or something like that.
What, kick a cricket ball? No.
No, not kick a cricket ball, I said. Knock. I said, knock, not kick. And you're trying to wind me up here again. It's all this Piers Morgan stuff, yeah, isn't it? That's what you're trying to wind me up
Amanda
about.
Was there as well, wasn't she? Amanda Holden.
Amanda Holden. I saw her once in at Wembley in the director's box, where, of course, I spend a lot of time, you know. And she was wearing an oversized Everton shirt as a dress with a black belt. She looked lovely, you know, with the Everton badge on, all that kind of stuff. Very attractive woman. Mm,
She's a toffee, is she?
She is, yeah. Big Everton fan. Yeah, big Everton fan. Now, what I need to talk to you about, apart from the golf and... everything
forgot,
else.
You?
No, I am not looking at my list. I'm telling you, the Ashes cricket is starting.
I've talked to Freddie.
Oh, will you?
Yeah.
Will you?
Talk to Freddie.
Oh, your mate Freddie, is he?
My mate Freddie.
Oh, yeah, mate Freddie. Yeah,
good as gold. He thinks England will beat the Aussies.
Right. Well, I wouldn't go against that, to be honest, except for the fact that I'm very worried about this new coach for England, Trevor Ripley. It's Trevor Ripley, isn't it? What's his name?
Trevor Bayliss.
Trevor Bayliss.
Do you know what?
It. Yeah, Trevor Bayliss.
There's something wrong with you today. I swear.
There's nothing wrong with me.
You're thinking of Andy Ripley. There's something wrong with you today. It's the party.
What are you on about?
Trevor Ripley.
Listen, I'm not fazed about that party.
The train up here, you went on the old Buffy carriage, were you?
No. Well, I knew it was Bayliss, just a little bit of the tongue, don't worry about that. Now, what worries me a bit is this. I've seen two people who have talked...
You know this is going out in the Express online.
Of course.
As well.
Of course, yeah.
But you were sacked from the Express.
No, I wasn't.
People understand now why you were sacked.
I was never sacked from the Express.
You were sacked from the Express.
I was a supremo with the Express.
Carry on, you were saying
I was assistant editor, news, right, and eventually graduated to being assistant editor, North America, based in Washington, D.C., friend of the president.
Yes.
Friend of friend of Bill Clinton.
Don't forget... I talked you into going to Washington after the 9/11, and we were in the round robin, weren't we?
It's true.
Right? The
in
bar.
Washington,
and before
DC.
You got there.
It was minus 14.
While you were going round the White House, and it was minus 14, I was at the bar and I met someone who knew you in your time in Washington.
That's right, yeah.
And they told me some lovely things.
No,
I also
all good things.
All good things. Ooh. And I also bumped into the editor of the Express, a lovely man, Hugh. I bumped
Hugh Whitto, lovely guy.
Yeah, well,
good
he
man.
Said,
worked with him on the road.
He said, "Is Mike still got a problem?"
It's like. Oh, really? Well, the only problem I had with you, Whitto, was I always beat him to the story, right? He was working on the Star in those days, on the Express.
Anyway.
When Whitto saw me coming, he used to faint because I was so good. I forgot what we were talking about. Oh, yeah, Trevor Bayliss.
Yes.
Right, Trevor Bayliss. Now,
is Andy Ripley's man.
Excuse me, I mean, that's just a slip of the tongue. Don't even worry about that. Now, the point I'm making is this. When he was appointed, and between now and then, I've heard two aficionados in cricket say, well, he doesn't say a lot, but when he does, people listen. That is utter rubbish. A man who doesn't say a lot has nothing to say. And therefore, when he says something, people say, dismiss him, he's an empty-headed goon.
And some people say, you talk too much.
No. What have I got to do with it? What about Jose Mourinho? He speaks a lot.
No, he
because
doesn't.
He's got a lot to say.
He doesn't
yes,
speak
he does.
A lot.
He
no,
does.
He doesn't.
He does.
No. He was charming. I had a one-on-one with him.
I was about to say, he's so hard up to talk
he
to
was
somebody,
charming.
He invited you up to Cobham.
He doesn't say a lot. See, some people feel if there's not important things to say, don't ramble. Right?
Sorry, what are you looking at
ramble.
Me like that for? What are you doing?
I think anyone listening to this podcast...
Why are you nodding towards the producer
today,
looking at me?
Because today you've been rambling.
Oh, yeah.
You have.
Yeah.
You've been
what?
Rambling.
About what?
About everything. About
I've
the
been
topics.
Rambling,
you have.
We have to get down to the issues, Alan. Sometimes it's hard to pin you down on those issues, OK?
Anyway, get so, over Piers' party.
So that's my job, to pin you down on
the Who's going to win the Open?
Steed, now that Rory's out. Without a shadow of a doubt.
Who?
21-year-old American golfer.
What's his name again? I think we're going to leave it just there. He's been on the party train. Brought to you